Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:41 British Summer Time. Today is September 9th, the 9th of the 9th of the 9th, and a relatively quiet day on stock markets. In Asia, the majority of markets were a little bit easier in here today, with the Hang Seng down about just over 1%. The China Mainland Index was relatively steady. In Europe, the majority of indices closed in excess of 1% to the upside. And in Wall Street, we see that the S&P and the Dow are both pushing their recovery highs, and the Nasdaq 100 has already broken upwards to a new recovery high. So we continue to see a really quite firm action in stock markets. And at the very least, we have another higher low for the majority of indices, which can now be monitored with a view to monitoring the consistency of these advances. And they do really remain quite consistent in terms of the advances that we've seen to date. Of course, part of the reason that we're seeing this strength in stock markets, particularly, is because of the green light to leverage that the G20 meeting was seen to give last week, with central bankers and politicians coming out from a broad swathe of the larger economies and saying that they were intent on holding the stimulus in their respective economies for a longer period of time, regardless of the fact that the evidence is pointing increasingly towards a resurgent global economy, and that is particularly true of the Asian region. It continues to look like Asia is going to lead the global economy out of this recession and is likely to be the center for growth for a good long time to come. But today was also relatively interesting from the precious metals perspective. We saw gold pushing through the $1,000 level yesterday, and it fell down towards 989 as I speak, so down $6 on the day, having touched $1,000 again earlier on this morning. Silver was also a little bit easier in here today, down to 1630. Platinum was also down on the day. But these are not falls in a dynamic fashion, and certainly gold had raced to get up to the $1,000 level last week. So if we see a little bit of consolidation in this area, it is probably not going to be too surprising for the majority of investors. Interesting today that we see that Barrick Gold, biggest one of the bigger gold mines in the world, is closing out its hedge book. That's a net positive for the gold price, and while it might curtail the ability of Barrick to rally in the very short term, that is a net positive. And certainly we would look to the gold mining sector and really wonder why, following the very impressive advances that we've seen in the gold price and indeed precious metal prices over the last 8 years, why they would still be hedging their production. And we can anticipate that by the time we see that all of the gold mines have unwound their hedge books, we'll be very much more towards the latter stages of this bull market and very impressive advance that it has been. Relative to the Dow Jones, the gold price has already undergone a significant strengthening, and it is back into single figures on that ratio. Now, we've seen three important peaks in that ratio over the last 100 years, and they were in the late 1920s, the 1950s, to my knowledge, and again following the tech bubble. And gold has been outperforming since 2000 relative to the Dow Jones, and it can outperform even more. And now that we're down into single digits, when we get into those kinds of multiples, it does require really rather large moves on either one of those sides of the equation to have a full figure move in the ratio. So we are in the third psychological perception stage, or entering the third psychological perception stage of the gold bull market. We are through to the acceptance, and there is significant potential for this acceptance to move into a more euphoric type stage, particularly in view of the fact that we see that the global economy is under significant pressure and that some of the larger economies are printing money, fiat currency like stink, in order to socialize the debts that are in their various remits. And that is a bullish type scenario for the gold price, which has a long history of holding its value. In a scenario where gold can sustain a move above $1,000, then we would expect silver and platinum, even palladium, as well as the gold shares, to outperform. And certainly we saw a taste of what that could look like last week. As I said, gold remains within striking distance of $1,000 and is consolidating the little advance that we had last week. But a move below the sort of $900 to $950 range would really start to open question marks about the immediacy of gold's upside potential, and we would have to start to reassess. But for the moment, this looks like nothing more than a consolidation of the impressive short-term gain we saw last week. Today was also interesting because we had that breakdown in the dollar against a number of currencies over the last few days, and it was weaker in here again today. So we are starting to see consecutive days to the downside for the dollar, and that is different action than what we saw over the last 3 weeks, where it was up one day and down the next. And what we are starting to see as well, particularly on the short end of the curve, is that the yields in a large number of currencies are pushing, or a large number of economies are pushing down to make new lows on the short end of the curve, which suggests that there is a lot of demand out there for these short-term instruments. With the dollar getting weaker and with leverage clearly pushing stock markets upwards to new highs, as well as momentum investors piling in there, we can look at the carry trade type situation and not so much carry trades, particularly if they are in dollar denominated assets. There is no carry, but what we are certainly seeing is that investors are taking as much advantage as they can of the very low funding rates that are available in a large number of economies and putting them to work in better performing or higher risk assets. That would suggest that there is a codependency there between what the dollar is doing and what we have going on in risky type assets such as stock markets and commodities. And a move, significant move in either one, is likely to have a corresponding move in the relevant asset. So it will be increasingly interesting to watch the various cross rates with the US dollar relative to how the relevant stock markets are performing. For example, if you look at the New Zealand stock market and the New Zealand dollar spot, there is quite a good correlation. The same is true of the South African rand and the Johannesburg All Share, particularly over the last few years. The same is true of the Australian dollar spot and the Australian Resources Index, more than the ASX 200. So we are seeing these correlations, and I spent some time today preparing some of these charts, and I'll post a number of them tomorrow, because they will be interesting to monitor. Because if we do have this codependency, then a significant move in either the currency or the relevant market could have a corresponding knock-on effect on the other side of this codependent relationship. And that is something that there was plenty of evidence of with the yen carry trade in the years moving up to or before the crisis of last year. And with the stimulus that is available in the global economy, we are likely to see that type of activity again. And the ability to monitor where that codependent type relationship becomes most evident was a reliable indicator of how serious reactions were in the bull market that peaked last year. And the bull market hypothesis for stock markets remains very much in place. Nothing has happened that would question that bull market type of, or that bull market conclusion that we came to. from October onwards. And we are looking at this market, and we see that the majority of indices have bottomed, that leaders bottomed late last year or in the third quarter last year, laggards bottomed in March, and we are seeing a large number of markets either having already broken upwards from their bases or doing so right now. We're seeing moving averages turning upwards. We're seeing that a number of markets, when they have reacted, they have found support in the region of their moving averages and are advancing once more. And a number of the absolute better performing markets are in the regions of their all-time highs. And two of those would be Chile and Colombia in commodity producing Latin America. So certainly we are in a new bull market type of environment. What investors will be most keen on doing is monitoring the consistency of these advances. There is a temptation to do in the next or in this cycle what we wish to be done in the last. So there will certainly be a cohort of investors who will take profits too early in this new bull market, but they will also be the later buyers to help fuel the latter stages of the advance, and there's certainly a lot of cash on the sidelines. What we'll be trying to do is monitor the consistency of these advances. They remain consistent for the moment. While some of them are getting increasingly overextended relative to their moving averages, the advances remain relatively consistent. We now have another higher low to keep an eye on with a view to monitoring the progressions of higher lows and consistent reactions one above another in the majority of cases. Longer term, when we see the larger, or the medium term, when we see larger type reactions, we'll be looking for them to find support in the region of the moving averages. But when they start to get underway, we will be looking at the, or one of the things we can look at will be the overlays with various funding currency cross rates over the stock market index, because if we see high degrees of correlation, then we could easily anticipate that if some of that leverage is getting unwound, the currency could move before the actual stock market, and that could easily be something that we will see over the coming years, and certainly something we'll be watching for with a view to when larger medium-term corrections unfold within this longer-term bull trend. Certainly, the way the yield curve is currently positioned, up at its highs with a huge spread between the 10 and the 2-year, there is remarkably stimulative activity in markets. And even though we are unlikely to see that spread get very much wider, it is going to be a long time before we see, at least a number of years before that spread gets down into an inverted yield curve again, which will be a harbinger for the next recession. And as I said, that is a number of years from now. Our main concern today is to monitor the consistency of these advances. And for the moment, the majority of stock markets remain consistent. The commodity complex remains in robust form, although a little bit weaker in here today, as long as the progression of higher lows also remains intact for the majority of those industrial metals and indeed the energy complex, we can continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.